Welcome to Ear Biscuits. I'm Link.
And I'm Rhett. Joining us today, once again, as part of our Ear Biscuits at VidCon series, is OG YouTuber and the Guinness World Record holder for most consecutive daily vlogs posted on YouTube, Charles Trippy.
Now, Charles is truly a pioneer of entertainment and a friend of ours. He launched his Charles Trippy channel way back in May of 2006 and immediately began defining a genre of clickable web content. In 2008, he started a second channel, the CTFXC, aka Internet Killed Television, and uploaded daily vlogs over there. And he hasn't stopped for going on 7 years. That's right. Charles has been uploading a vlog, basically a reality montage of highlights of his day, every day for 7 years, and he hasn't missed a single day, hence the record. And it turns out a lot happens over that amount of time. For one, you amass 1.5 million subscribers and over 670 million video views. You also share life-altering experiences like a surprise engagement proposal, vacations, getting tattoos, touring with his band, We the Kings, divorce, and even brain surgery. The dude has filmed his own brain surgery.
Yes, he did. And he kept going right through it, sharing his daily life on YouTube to this day, making him arguably the most determined vlogger of all time. And we talked to him about that determination, his process, and the motivation behind his choice to bear all of his life to his fans. We also spoke about those brain tumors, the brain tumors that he had, and the surgeries that he had to go through as a result. He tells the whole story of how it went down and also how vlogging became a therapeutic way for him to deal with it. He also describes the whole process around how he was able to vlog his entire brain surgery, the second brain surgery, and you're gonna wanna stick around to hear about that. And later in the conversation, we talked about something that we've been anxious to talk with Charles about for some time, and that is his relationship with three different Allies, including what it was like to experience the massive fan reaction to his separation from his wife, Allie Speed, and his perspective on all of the internet speculation behind that.
And we know it wasn't easy for Charles to talk about all this stuff with us. I mean, he already put it out there over the course of the years of experiencing it.
Right.
But just, in fact, he said it's the first time that he went back and kind of encapsulated it in a conversation and talked about and started to process some of the divorce again. So we really do appreciate Charles being open with us and our friendship with him. Mm-hmm. We had a great conversation and we know you'll enjoy it too. But first, we want to take a moment to remind you to support entertainment by getting some of our merch, y'all. Rhettandlink.com/store.
If you want to find more ways to express your mythical beasthood, head over there to Rhettandlink.com/store. Check out all the things we got available, like bobbleheads, hoodies, posters, wristbands, shirts, hats, coffee mugs. All of that can be found over there at Rhettandlink.com/store. Again, it's a great way to express your mythical beasthood and also support entertainment. Thanks for doing that. Now, on to the biscuit.
I was telling Ray, I was trying to remember the exact timeline of like us first meeting and then...
That's a very good question. I don't remember. It just kind of happened.
Well, I know the first time we met in person was in Philly in 2008.
Oh, was it one of those YoTube things? What
yeah, you were going to that. Rhett and I, we were just there for... We were doing videos with Alka-Seltzer. And we
It was the Philly cheesesteak thing.
Yes, and you came with Shay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It was the Geno's and Pat's thing, right?
Yeah. So that's the first time we met in person, but we certainly knew you before then, and I think we may have been like internet friends.
Yeah,
because you had a haircut by that point.
No one Google what I look like.
You didn't have the long haircut. Hair with like it was purple at times, and it that just, was gone by the time we met.
Oh, that was gone. Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm almost positive.
Okay, good. I'm glad that was
I'm
gone
less
before.
Less embarrassed. I do remember though at the Geno's and Pat's thing, it was when I was a vegetarian.
Yeah,
and I remember telling you guys that. And I remember getting almost spat on by, I think it was the Geno's guy. Those are the ones that have like it looks like Guy Fieri.
Flash, all the Flash.
The Flash, yeah.
He was upset with
you. He was very upset with me that I was vegetarian.
He was like, why are you here?
I was just like, bread and cheese, please. I remember that.
That's cheese bread.
And Nults. Nults was there too.
Nults was the one that brought you guys.
Yeah, I remember that. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and Ed Bassmaster was there and... a couple of other people too.
I feel old.
Long time ago.
Oh yeah. You're internet old, dude.
We're all old.
You're older
you're doing
than
as long as we are.
You're internet older than us.
I mean, really? A little bit internet older.
In terms of being established. I mean, yeah, absolutely. You're a pioneer. That's what I'm going to call you.
I remember watching you
guys
back in the day, though. Like, when I started, I was watching you guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, all your songs and stuff. I remember that.
We had a backlog of songs, but...
Yeah.
Because I remember, like, really admiring the fact that you guys harmonizing together. It was like, you see both you guys, and you got the dynamic, and it was, like, right. You guys nailed it every single time. I was just really impressed all the time. You know, this is mind-blowing. It was mind-blowing.
Well, but we were... I remember thinking you were getting traction. You know, it's like, because there was a time early on when we were like trying to figure out like who's doing this right.
No one.
You know, but you certainly the people were. Getting the response were doing it right.
When I look back on your channel, the Charles Trippy channel, which was like, I guess you would call it your sketch channel. There were sketches, but
it was my channel. It was only your channel. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm just struck with how you were, like I said, pioneering, but you were inventing a genre of sensationally titled shareable content, like Trapped in a Claw Machine. And then the thumbnail is you're in a claw machine.
Yeah.
Were you actually in the claw machine?
I was. I used to work at a movie theater, and my job was to restock the claw machine and to retake it. Here's a fun little fact. Did you guys know those things are rigged? They're supposed to,
the
claw is supposed to clamp X amount of times, like harder. So that way, not every single time you win something.
Yeah.
So I was supposed to do it like every like 20 times or something like that, you know. So 1 in 20 chance to actually get something. And I thought that was really kind of up. Yeah. So I would choose and I would make it like 1 in 5 or something like that, or 1 in 1. And I remembered one time.
There's like a setting on the back?
It was like a setting that you had to kind of go into.
Like a flathead screwdriver?
Yeah, it was like a computer setting and stuff like that. And it was so messed up. I thought it was so screwed up. So every time I would do it, I'd like take it down every single time. And the reason why I was in there is because I had to refill it again because my boss found out, because he was like wondering why the thing would go from here to here.
The claw and, like, machine keeps four getting days. Emptied.
Yeah. You're like Robin Hood.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. For cheap toys. Yeah, that we thought that would be a funny idea. You know, I always wanted to do that because you see babies on the news getting stuck in a claw machine.
Yeah, right.
So I was like, why not? I got the key. Let's just do it.
And you
on
got
the job.
YouTube channel.
I was
on
doing
the
that
job.
On the job. I was editing and filming on the job. So
did you get fired?
No, they actually supported it. I worked at an IMAX theater and I worked at another movie theater, like an indie theater. And that's where actually, without that kind of stuff, I would not have been able to do it because I was in college. You have no time when you're in college. So I would go to work, go upstairs in the production booth and whatever, cut the movies, press play, do nothing. I would drink with my boss upstairs. We would get Bailey's and coffee. It's so cool, right? Bailey's and coffee. We're awesome people, right?
Yeah.
And we would just drink, get drunk, move the movies.
Bailey's with the boss.
Yeah, right?
Switch the reel.
Switch the reel, which was a pain in the ass. To this day, I hate King Kong because I dropped it.
Really?
Yeah, because it's probably as big as this table. Well, you guys can't see this table, but like twice the width of this table. You know, it's just math.
Well, they don't do any of that anymore, Charles.
No, it's all digital.
It's all digital.
I quit in the wrong time.
Another video, I Can Make You Yawn.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Which Rhett and I found ourselves doing an I Can Make You Yawn video 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And then we like search. We're like, I'm sure somebody's done this. And then, of course, you pop up from like 7 years earlier.
I didn't. Was that long? Do you have that on there?
It was like 6 years ago.
Okay.
I Can Make You Yawn. And then, like, best sleeping pranks. And it's got, you know, the thumbnail is with like the Sharpie on your face Pop Rocks and Coke Myth. It's just like, you know, it was like premonition type stuff that you were seeing the future of what was going to work on YouTube.
Which is funny because I had no idea what I was doing.
Right.
Nobody does.
But you had honed it to a craft even back then, like the sensational titles, and people just, you know, you had to click.
Yeah, you got to do it. Like, I remember, as a kid, my grandma would read those National Enquirers, and that's the only reason why I did open those things. So I thought maybe kind of doing the same thing for YouTube would be the same thing. Because, I mean, if you guys back in the day would watch anything on YouTube, you wouldn't watch, like, Day 400 or Untitled Vlog. You know, you wouldn't do that. No one would ever do that. That's why I kind of get annoyed with anyone with titling videos. They're like, oh, it's totally fake. You know what I mean? It's like, or misleading comments or misleading titles.
Right.
It's like, that didn't happen. It's like, would you watch a video called Untitled Vlog 2000? Like, no one ever would watch a movie like that.
Right.
Is it fair to say that you've tried everything? Like, I mean, can I name anything? Like, boobs. Of course you've done boobs.
I've done boobs.
I mean,
male and female.
But anything, I mean, you're like, in terms of the technology, whenever YouTube would come out with something, like, well, one of the most viewed videos on that channel still is longest video ever on YouTube.
Yeah, I remember.
And this
doing
was
that.
Somehow it was before they put in. They probably put in the restriction back was, then because of you. It was almost a 10-hour video.
Yeah, and it was the restriction back in the day. There was no time restriction. It was only a
file size limit.
File size. It was 100 megs. And I remember that file being, it's why it looks like crap if you try to find it. It was 10 hours or something like that. But you know, when you stretch out and try to export it, back in the day, you try to do that on like, I was doing iMovie 2006.
Can't do it.
It just exploded. So you would have to like compress it and compress it again and compress it smaller. I remember compressing it probably 10 times to get it under 100 megs to be able to do that. And then it got online. Now there's like no limit. You know, you can put a movie up there.
Right.
You can do Brain for 25 hours.
Is there a limit now?
There was a time limit too that they added later. And then you had to be a certain type of partner to have that removed.
But if you have that removed, can you just do it indefinitely?
If you look, you can look for like I've used sound effects. Like you can look like Rain. Rain round sound like on YouTube look like rain and thunder,
yeah,
and it's like 25 hours or something like that. So I don't think there's a limit anymore.
Yeah, there's probably not. But you would be the one to formulate these questions and then scientifically, by guessing and checking or compressing in this case, find out the answers. Of course, the next video you released was the shortest video ever on YouTube.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of like a you. I had to do that because somebody was so pissed about it. So I was like, you know what.
What was the motivation for, like, what were you doing at the time that was like, I'm going to do this YouTube thing and
gonna,
do it so
I'm going to bend
aggressively.
YouTube.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to bend YouTube to my
so
ends.
I started, you know, MySpace back in the day. If you guys don't know what MySpace, it still might be available, but I don't think I'm going to use it. I was doing that, and I had a bet with my roommate at the time to get more friends. I won, and then just kept doing that kind of stuff. And then I was making videos with other friends at the movie theater. And we would put on our website, and bandwidth sucked then, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You'd have to put a QuickTime video up there. You'd have to spend like $80 a month for like 5 views of your video.
Yeah, because you were paying for the hosting.
Yeah, so it's one person watch a video, like 100 megabyte video, it's like 500 megabytes right there.
You actually didn't want people to watch your video.
Yeah, you're
you
like,
have to pay.
Don't watch it, seriously. Right? And then my friend Ricky lived out here, and he showed me YouTube. And at the time, it was only available to just, I mean, it was only really used for uploading a video, embedding it somewhere. There was no community or anything like that. So I was doing that. And then one day I was just on the site and I noticed that there was things called, there was like channels and subscription boxes and things like that. And I was like, all right, something's going to happen here. So then I was like, had so much time in the theater, you know, I was just like, all right, so let's just keep making more videos, networking around. I did the, just kind of looked around like Lisa Nova, like those are Renetto back in the day. I just kind of saw what they were doing.
Yeah.
And just kind of, even Naltz, he was back in the day too.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just seeing what they were kind of doing and then almost mimicking it. And just to kind of see that there was actually a channel forming. And once I saw that, I just dropped MySpace altogether. And it just sounds obvious right now, but back then it was pretty.
No,
it was a decision.
It's like, which baby do you keep?
Right.
We were very fixated on MySpace.
Oh, we were trying
from the beginning. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and like a LiveJournal back in the day,
mm-hmm.
and you know, Friendster and all those things.
Uh-huh.
But no, and then it just I was like, oh well, I'm making videos. I'm just gonna keep doing this.
And you were watching other people, but I mean, there were sketches out there like the Lisa Nova. Mm-hmm. Lisa Nova's of the world, and then we're vlogging like the Renetto,
right,
or like the lifestyle vlog that like Naltz would do.
Yeah. It's but, like Renetto and Naltz were way ahead of their time, I think. Renetto especially. Like nobody got what he was doing. Like they thought he was this crazy guy. Then they realized he was, I love Renetto, but I mean, he is a crazy guy, but like, he would take a vlog, but he would make this like crazy sensational thing like you were saying. And he would like, you know, the head would explode or something like that.
Uh-huh.
I remember that one was Mentos or something like that. And then it would just make this like really entertaining vlog, but it was actually kind of like a skit.
Right.
So you kind of see what that's going on. And you kind of like, you know, just build off of that.
Kind of were you thinking like, I mean, nobody was really thinking of a career back then.
No.
Because nobody knew what it was going to lead to. But were you thinking like, did you have another thing that you wanted to do like as a career? Or were you like, I'm going to be a rock star?
No. Well, everyone has that kind of thing. I grew up on it with my dad and stuff like that. So I wanted that at one point, and I did that for a while. Then I quit to go to college. So I was in college, didn't know what I wanted to do. picked a degree, got that degree, then just kind of lived up in Tampa, where USF was, where I kind of like graduated from.
At what point did you make up the last name Trippy? That's your real last name,
that's
right?
That's my real last name.
Right.
And I'm the third, so, so yeah, it's actually...
Trippy the third.
It's not a funny story, it's just kind of a sad story, because when my grandfather came over here, grandparents, Ellis Island, they didn't want it with an I, because it was too, I guess, Italian, so they made it a Y to be more American.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was T-R-I-P-P-I.
Yeah, so if you see...
Trippy.
So very few with a Y, but so like there's like a... What's his name? Charles Trippy, football player back in the day, had it with an I.
Okay.
Yeah. So you'll see with an I, but very few with a Y. I think it's all my family probably with a Y. Like,
they're the only ones who made that decision.
Yeah.
Let's go with a Y.
We got screwed.
Oh, they did it to him.
Yeah.
The guy at Ellis Island.
Yeah. It was just kind of like.
Changed it to a Y.
Yeah. Ellis Island. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. So when they got there, they're like, okay, that's still Italian. You're a Y. Get out there. You're welcome, America. Yeah, kind of things like
Americanized
that.
Americanized it.
Right, yeah.
It really works as a YouTube channel, though.
It does.
This guy's trippy.
Because you'd have people
look at his hair. It's long and it's purple sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's trippy.
You would have all these people like with usernames like Renetto, Lisa Nova, you know, stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
Nulty, Kevin Nultz or something like that.
Right.
And you don't realize. I would sit there and think of one. And I'm just like, I'm just using my last name.
It works, man. Yeah. It works. You had vision.
Yeah, I was lazy.
Okay, so at the time you're doing this, early on, you're working at a theater, which, mm-hmm. you know, is not typically the thing that leads to a lifelong career, right? And you probably didn't think so.
No.
So was it just like a game to you? Was it, I'm just going to see if I can master this?
It was kind of a game, because there was also Google Video. Do you remember that before Google bought YouTube?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's kind of submitted and bought YouTube. So it was kind of a game. We would upload a video to YouTube, we would upload a video to Google Video. I don't know if there's another website at the time. And we would see which video got more.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And we kind of like lay bets. And like with people we made the videos, we're like, oh my God, I remember there was a video out there that got 100 views and we almost ourselves.
Really?
100 views. back in 2005, I mean, that was 100 views. I mean, you would pay that like 100 times like on a website. That's insane.
Yeah.
But and then there was a comment and you'd be like, holy what the is going on?
Somebody saw this and was compelled to say something.
Yeah. They gave it five stars. What's going on here?
And you tapped into the social nature of it too. So I mean, you got your friends who you're like placing bets about things, but then very quickly you became known and you knew other people. At least that's my impression of it, right?
Yeah, I thought that was like the idea of YouTube is kind of connecting and making friends, you know what I mean, through that. I'm a very awkward person. I mean, you guys know, I've met you in person a million times. I'm like very awkward and not socially awkward. Like I'm pretty good at it, but be this as our job. Like I don't like going out and going to parties and stuff like that. I'd rather just sit home and watch a movie versus, because this is what we do for a living. We go out and we make these videos and we're very entertaining. So it was just kind of like one of those things where I just kind of liked doing it. And this is weird. I mean, YouTube in general is just weird when you think about the whole, should write a book, right? Everyone else is.
Yeah.
But you don't have time.
No. Let's make a vlog.
Well, and let's talk about that, because
transcribe everything.
That was another, it's become probably the most significant innovation that you.
Oh, the daily stuff.
Is the daily vlog. So, okay. Was anyone else doing that?
Shay.
Okay, so Shay started doing that just a
and
little bit before.
Technically, Nultz. I mean,
yeah, Nultz was doing it. It just wasn't
before the time.
Consistent.
Yeah, he had a different kind of thing. It was like 2 minutes of something pranking his family or something like that. So
but it wasn't
style.
Every single day.
Nultz did it every day.
He did?
Yeah, because I remember it was Shay and I were talking about it. We thought it might have been the kiss of death if we made a video every single day, because we noticed when he made one every single day, his views dropped.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought it might have been the kiss of death. I remember Shay and I talking about that for a very long time.
Yeah, because Nultz had like a slogan that was like, every time you take a crap, I make a video.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
He was way ahead of his time. I mean, it sucks that a lot of people don't know who he is.
Yeah.
I wish a lot of people did, because he was a pioneer. He was one of the first.
But then you and Shay decided in parallel, right?
No, Shay.
Was this a collusion?
It was Shay first. And then after the first month, he called me. He was like, you better do this. And I was like, well, I don't know. My knife is not that interesting. And he's like, just do it. And I'm like, oh, I don't have like seven kids to do it. And,
yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, I'm in college. I don't have time. So, and then I was just like, all right, I'm going to do it. And I started doing it. And if I watch the old ones, I cringe because you have the old flip where it's like jerking around Jell-O and stuff like that. The technology wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And doing it like every day, that kind of wasn't like the goal. It just so happened. Because I feel like I'm a very stubborn person when it comes to doing something. And like if I put my mind to something, I'm not going to stop.
So it's just the principle of saying that you started, you can't stop.
Yeah, you can't stop. And I never thought, like, I didn't realize I never stopped until somebody pointed out, like, a couple years later. They're like, you realize you never stopped in 2 years? I'm like, holy shit. And then at that point, I was like, okay, well, let's keep going. Let's make something of this. And then after 3 or 4 years, you know, somebody put in contact with Guinness World Records. And then I was like, all right, well, I better make this contact last. So I kept doing it. And then at year 5 or 6, they gave us that.
Right.
So I didn't really, there was no plan on doing it every single day. It was just like, it said daily vlogs, but I thought I was just going to do daily vlogs, you know, just whenever I got a chance.
Right. And now what's the unbroken streak now?
2,276. 7 years.
And the Guinness record, do you actually get a plaque?
Yeah, I have the plaques at home. They're literally on my office. I have two of them now. They give you one every year.
Oh, really?
They give you one every year. Because they update the book, but...
Right, and you still got the record.
Yeah, and they didn't give me one last year because they just kept the same record. But this year, they saw the significant jump because it went from 1,500 to 2,700 or something
right,
like that.
Right, so it's like, oh, this is, yeah.
This is okay. A bigger jump. We should update it. So, yeah, they literally give you this plaque. It's like an award. Not as cool as the play buttons for YouTube, but it's like a plaque. It says Guinness World Record, you know, little certificates and stuff like that.
Right.
And you had to develop... I mean, that developed over time. You know, there's an art form to doing the daily vlog.
It's like a formula.
So give us the formula.
It's you wake up, you introduce yourself. You wake up here, kind of like you guys do with this. You say hello.
Yeah.
You introduce what's going on. You don't really say what you're going to talk about. You just do it. Mm-hmm. And whatever happens in the day, that happens in the day. And then you edit at the end of the night. And then you see a community because you guys have a huge community behind this. And then you see that, and then you evolve them, and then...
And then you pick something. So at the end of the day, you're uploading... How many days... In an ideal schedule, I know sometimes it probably fluctuates.
Yeah.
It
depends on what...
You can't really get ahead.
No, you can't. Well, it depends on what you're doing. Like, if you're kind of... what do you mean? Like, you can't be in the next day? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, like, there's no buffer. Because
you sleep and then you wake up and do it again.
Yeah, you got to do it again.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to, you get home that night at the end of the day, you're like editing and uploading something that goes out the next day.
Next morning, yeah.
So how streamlined has it gotten at this point in terms of?
I can do it in my sleep.
So, because I assume now that there's like, you're self-editing as you're shooting. You're like, I know this is actually the beginning of this clip. This is the end of the clip.
Yeah,
I'm not trimming anymore.
Yeah.
So is it like you open it up and you just back to back, you just throw them in the timeline.
Was it the J and the L on like Final Cut? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And exactly. You know, you shoot to edit. First you used to shoot kind of thing. And then Shay was always like, him and I would always talk about it. Cause like him and I, our videos back in the day were like 30 minutes long.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous, like a TV show. And then we started like, all right, well, I started finding myself, at least he still does it. But I was like, I can't watch that much. And so I figured I short my down a little bit. The more exciting stuff, like highlights.
Yeah.
And but it's the same thing, like you said. It's like you shoot to edit kind of thing. So you know where it is. And then I've been teaching Allie how to do it too. So she's understanding that too. So when she edits some of the times, she knows how to do it. But yeah, that way you're not like basically because, you know, when you edit, it's real time, sometimes longer. So if you shoot like 60 minutes, you can't do it in 60 minutes. It's going to take longer than that.
And then, so it's still either you or Allie editing at this point. There's nobody like comes in and be like, okay, you guys are sick today. I'm going to come in and do this for you.
No. Got to do it. Got to do it through everything. You know, I've helped. Everyone's helped me in the past. My parents have helped. My sister has helped. You know, Allie Speed has helped back in the day and stuff like that. Right. Everyone's helped me. So.
And there's certain points where it's like, oh, like I got to get to the internet in order to upload this.
Dude,
it's got to be like crazy moments.
Oh my God.
Of desperation.
Touring is like the worst.
Oh, I can't imagine.
We've gone, I remember one day specifically, it was a day I almost lost a record. It was in London and it was pouring raining and we got invited. Do you guys know the band Thrice?
I don't think so.
I know the one before it.
Okay.
Twice.
Twice.
trying to make a numerological joke.
There you go.
I can't even say.
Well, if anyone listening knows Thrice, they had a going away tour and they invited the band because we were overseas touring.
Okay.
And they invited us to go watch. And that was one of my bands I loved as a kid.
Mm.
And I had to miss it because I had to walk around London in the rain trying to find
the internet.
And I literally would go up to people's doors in hotels asking if I could have their Wi-Fi password.
Really?
Yeah, and I got it.
Someone finally said.
Yeah, and I got it.
Because if you don't, what's the rule? If you don't, if it doesn't post before.
It's got to be 3 a.m. Pacific time, which is the day. Because YouTube switches over at midnight, which is 3 a.m. Eastern. I kind of, when I was over there, it was nice because I was, you know, way ahead. But it was, that was a pain in the ass. And then when we go, anytime we tour, like we go to, you know, Malaysia, we go to Japan, we go to Australia and stuff like that. You find out who has really crappy internet, like how long it takes.
Right. But it's you've always found a way to make it.
There's always been a way. Somehow, if you find a way, determination, you'll find it.
But you're wearing the hat, IKTV right now, that, you know, coining the phrase, the internet killed television.
Right.
Is, you coined that very early on, right?
I've had that for, I don't know how
before
many years.
Before the daily vlogs.
Way before. I was like listening to the Buggles, Radio Killed the Internet Star.
Mm-hmm.
Radio Killed the TV Star. I can't even remember anymore. What's TV? and I listened to that and I was like, I wonder if this domain's open. You know, I just bought it immediately because I was like, holy it's available.
Right.
And I just bought it for like 20 years or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it was just, I don't know. I just noticed that I was not watching TV anymore. I was watching all my friends on the internet, watching you guys. I was watching Lisa. I was watching Shay. I was watching everybody on the internet.
Yeah. And again, I mean, it's actually finally happening.
Yeah.
You know?
It's dead.
Yeah, I mean,
or almost dead.
Almost dead.
Yeah, it's puttering out. It's gasping for
right.
air. It's gasping for air. It's buying the internet right now. That's what it's doing. The internet is. I mean, TV is now just buying everything to be on the internet.
Yeah, it's just becoming. Yeah,
it's molding
in. It's becoming television.
But yeah, exactly.
But there was a point when there was a question if you would get to see your prediction happen with this whole brain tumor thing.
Oh right.
So there's I want to go through this because there's a couple of layers here.
Mm-hmm.
There's just the fact that you had a brain tumor and you went through it.
Right, yeah.
And then there's a layer of, and you document your life every single day and you're not going to stop.
Yeah.
Because just between us and everybody who's listening, if you could ever come up with an adequate excuse
stop.
For stopping. I think a brain tumor is on the list of excuses.
I thought so too, but no.
But it's funny because if you actually had stopped at the very beginning and like made an informed decision before you embarked on the daily content.
Like so what I've continued?
What if, it's like, well, if I'm going to do this every day, what if something really bad happens to me? You know, I mean, do you recall thinking about that? Or was it just Shay's doing it? He did it for 4 weeks. Now I'm going to do it. And yeah, I just said I was going to do it. So now I'm doing it.
It was just one of those things where I was like, I'm just going to do it.
Like, there wasn't like what ifs.
No, I never. You're a kid. You know, I was like 20 years old or something like that when I was doing all this stuff. Like a punk ass kid, you know, stupid hair. I wasn't really caring. It's just didn't even think about like foreseeable things like that. You know, think about stuff like that. When you're a kid, you just think about what you're doing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. There was an announcement to your audience. I have a brain tumor, but there was some part of your life that made it into the daily vlog that gave inklings to, hey, something might be up, right?
Right.
Because you had a seizure first, right?
I had a seizure on tour, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Tell us about that.
And I was on seizure. We were walking in Boise, Idaho, just before the show. We were trying to see that blue field because that's all I think is at Boise. So we were walking with Danny, our drummer, and then he said I just kind of did like a spin and just hit face first. I had like a Starbucks iced coffee. Starbucks, if you want to sponsor me, I've been drinking you forever.
yeah, but you gave him a brain tumor. Yeah. So take that into account.
Well, saved my face, so I landed face first on the iced coffee.
Okay.
On the coffee?
Saved by Starbucks.
Yeah, so instead of the cement, works. I literally had a little gash and a hole in my jeans, which became very fashionable. But so just that happened. Went to the hospital, just hanging around with Danny. We were playing like games on our phone. At the same time, he had broke his arm like 2 weeks prior. So the band was a mess. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, a drummer with one arm is possible.
He killed it though. He killed it. Yeah, he killed it. Yeah, Def Leppard. Just,
he Def Leppard-ed it.
Yeah, he just killed. We had our drummer, our drum tech, Yoshi, like at parts would just hit the cymbals. It was really funny, actually.
So you were making it work, but then you've got to go in and you're like, well, okay, now it's my turn.
Yeah.
I had just to get a little checkout.
Yeah, you know, let's go, you know, I fell down. They took me to the hospital, the ER or whatever, and I'm just sitting there. The guy comes in, you know, face is kind of like white, and he's like, all right, I got something to tell you. And my immediate reaction on anything is humor. So I knew something was wrong with my head. So I'm just like, he's like, I got something to tell you. And I'm like, it's not a brain tumor. It's not a tumor or whatever. Immediately go to Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? Uh-huh. And he's like, no, sir, it is.
Oh,
and it is a tumor. Like, did he do the impression back to you?
No, he didn't. If he did, I probably would have made things much better. But obviously I went, what? First, you don't understand it. And then, because you don't understand something like that. That's something I don't think very few people like understand. And that's why I continue doing these videos, is because there's a lot of people out there to watch these videos that are going through that or have family members. And so went through all that, you know, had to go.
I mean, that has to hit you like a ton of bricks. Like it you does. Said, at that moment, you're just.
But you're still young. You don't really get it. You think you're invincible. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, well, whatever. You know, it's a tumor. Get it out.
So you didn't think going to die.
No, at one point I did think I was going to die. I just thought like, you know, whatever, take it out of my head. And he was like, all right, so. Because the doctor that they assigned me to in Boise, which was a great hospital. Can't remember the name of the hospital. Great hospital, though.
That one in Boise.
Boise. I know Shay would know it. The guy was very confident about everything. And he was like, yeah, we could take it out right away. And I was like, okay, let's do it right now. And he's like, well, you have to be here for, what do you say, 3 weeks? And I was like, well, I don't want to be in Idaho for 3 weeks. So we flew home. We found a doctor over there. And he got it out. First one was sleep, like I was asleep. They thought it was okay.
Well, how big are we talking about the first one?
Golf ball.
Okay.
It was a golf ball.
A benign.
It was, well, technically all tumors are, benign is like a weird word they say.
Okay.
Because it was technically benign the first time. And then I guess it turned into something without treatment into more malignant.
Okay.
And went through the whole surgery, and I always have to give credit to Ally Speed. She killed it with the editing. I couldn't do anything, and she helped so much with the editing on that, because I was like doped up, you know, like I couldn't even do anything with my hands. So she edited. That's why we didn't miss a day.
Procedure was not filmed.
That one was not filmed. And then,
but the whole process, though, it's not just the procedure. It's how much you have to make a decision. How much of this are you sharing
online? Yeah.
Online, because I would imagine there's a temptation to say, well, I'll share just enough.
Right.
But then, well, let's just wait until this comes to a conclusion. Yeah, and then we'll just give an update and say, this is what was happening. I'm filling you in.
Yeah.
It's kind of like YouTubers in their secret projects.
Right, exactly. And they go away for a while, and then they cast them coming back with Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Brilliant, too.
So what did you decide? Because obviously you didn't miss a day, but it's not like every second of your day.
No, it's...
You're editing.
Yeah, you're editing. It was one of those things where I just sat down. I was like, it was more helpful to kind of talk to a camera and not have somebody really, you know, say anything. It was just like, let me just vent. And then later, you know, we can have the conversation in the comments. And then I started noticing people commenting saying they've gone through it as well. So I was like, oh, I mean, if they've gone through it, you know, this is cool. We're having that little connection so we can help each other. And it was crazy. And then got that surgery. It was 2 years later. I had another seizure. I was like seizure free for like two years or a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what causes those, is like seizures. If you guys ever have a seizure, please get it checked out. Not to scare you, but just get it checked out. So they noticed something happened when I got back off of Warped Tour. And so I went back in and they said it was back. And I was like, oh, there we go again. And so they had to go to a different doctor. And I wasn't on chemo or anything. That could have probably helped, you know, keep things regulated.
Yeah.
But.
Because it was in the same place? It just grew back in the same place?
Well, yeah. Technically, the type of it was, it's called an oligodendroglioma. It's a long word. And don't Wikipedia it. It scares if you do, because
do that at the time?
I did not. I mean, he told me not to, and I listened to my doctor.
Really?
Yeah, I did not do it. My parents did, and I could see the face, like look on their face, because there's like ones where like you can live your whole life, or you can be dead in 2 years. So it was like one of those. And I was super healthy. I was young, so just going through it all,
But the doctor, I mean, he told you,
yeah,
you could, it could, we could take care of this. You could be fine, or you could die in the next.
Right. Well, he didn't say that. They didn't know what it is until they take it out of your head.
Oh.
Yeah. So we didn't know what it was until after the first surgery, unfortunately. So then they found out, and that's the worst part, is like you're waiting for results, biopsy, and you're just like, you think that would go a little bit faster. You know what I mean? They pull something out of your head. It's like, all right, what do I have? And so you wait for like 2 or 3 weeks, get the phone call. He's like, all right, well.
How are those 2-3 weeks then? I mean.
It sucks.
Because, I mean, you have to, at some level, you're coming to grips with your mortality, right?
Right, yeah.
We're talking the second time now.
Oh, this is the first time.
Still the first time. Well, still.
Yeah, first time. The thing is, like, that's what I think the vlogs really helped, is because it keeps your mind off of things. Because otherwise, you're just sitting at your house, you know, watching TV, you know, watching a movie, and you're just like in the back of your head, you know, you're thinking about everything. Versus working.
Working.
Yeah, because it becomes a job. By then, it was a job.
And every video, it's not like you mentioned it. How much did you process over those weeks of waiting? Of like,
I thought it was fine. I was just like, what's okay? You know, whatever. I'm young. I can take care of it. I honestly didn't think about it much at all.
I guess what I'm asking is, did you ever find your vlogging to be a form of therapy for you? You know, to find yourself processing things that otherwise you wouldn't have talked to Allie about, or your parents about, or your friends about. You find yourself verbalizing things that...
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because...
Or did you just edit the action points and your dogs into your videos and it was just an escape?
It was kind of both. More of an escape, probably, if you think about it, because you don't want to dwell on things. So it was kind of cool. Like every single day, I was able to just focus on every day having fun and then just edit the video, enjoy, you know, let other people's, you know, watching the videos, enjoy the video. And if they're going through the same thing, they could see that it's not a death sentence, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. And then, so I just kept doing that. And then 2 years later, had another seizure, like I was saying, and then got another doctor's opinion, said it was back. This doctor said it was a little more serious. It was bigger. And so they showed me, I don't have the x-rays on here. We're on radio, so we can't really.
How big?
Yeah, it was, this one was small, like a baseball.
Wow.
So it got bigger. So which was scarier because, you know, they come back. These ones come back without treatment.
And your skull doesn't get bigger. Your brain just gets mushed.
Your brain gets mushed. I literally have like a hole in your head. And it's like fluid. It's very interesting. And the x-rays are really interesting to like kind of see, especially before and after. Before, it's just like your brain. It's like a white brain. Like it's like just white stuff in your brain, like filler. And then when they take it out, it's this black gap. And then it's like fluid and things like that. And your brain can't grow in there. Your brain's already grown. So you can't like, isn't it like when you're like a certain age, your brain's fully grown or something that?
So as the cancer grew into that baseball, it just pushed it over.
Yeah, it was more, it was a tumor though. I think cancer and tumors, I don't know if it's the same thing, but it's like, as the tumor grew,
it
pushes your brain over, which causes things like seizures and other things like that. Some people smell things, like they'd be like, who's cooking steak or something?
Did you experience any other weird stuff?
Nothing else. Sometimes like they can't see color. It's weird. Like it's just a kind of like mine is on the right side. So it's the right frontal lobe. So it's supposed to be like your motor skills on your left side, which sucks as a musician. So you lose everything, right? Or when they take it out, you could be the best musician ever. So that's what I was hoping for.
But you didn't experience any real physical changes.
Just a seizure. Yeah, and that's what everything else was fine. And then they did this surgery. The guy said he needed to get this one. This surgeon's the rock star of surgeons. He was like, he would tell me stories about how like him and the other guy, they were best friends, were in like punk bands in med school in Boston. And they would go below the hospital and like there was an abandoned part in the hospital, turned into a punk venue. And this is my brain surgeon. He's telling me
when
all these
things.
When
you said he was the rock star, I just thought you meant he was really good at brain surgery.
He is. No, he's
also both. Meant, yeah,
also
both.
Literally a rock star.
He was just awesome. He's Italian. He's an Italian guy. He's one that actually brought all the news from when Kurt Cobain had his OD in Italy.
Uh-huh.
And no one would give him the information to America. He was on the phone with Courtney Love and Kurt getting all that information back over here. It was him because he's Italian. So he's the rock star. And so he's telling me all this stuff. He's like, this is what we're going to do. You're going to be awake. And first off, I'm like, what the you're awake.
Yeah.
And they was telling me, like, you don't feel anything. You don't, like, once your brain's, like, head's open, you can poke your brain.
Yeah.
You
no nerves.
Yeah, you'd probably lose, like, you'd probably be dumb, but I mean, you're not going to feel it. It
wouldn't hurt to get dumb.
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt to be dumb. You wouldn't know you're getting dumb, I guess. But,
And so that's the first thought is, oh, I'm awake. Second thought, can I film it?
Yeah, it was. It was actually, I was like, that was actually, I don't know why, but I know my mom and my dad were like, what are you thinking?
Right.
Why is that the first thought and stuff like that?
You like asked the doctor?
Immediately asked the doctor. I was like,
he said what?
He said, sure.
He said, that sounds cool, man.
He did. He actually loved it. He loved the idea. And he's like, sure. He's like, what kind of camera is it? He's like, you can't have a crew, obviously. Yeah. And I'm like, I was like, I have this little camera right here. And he's like, yeah, no problem. So I bring it in. I have the, I guess there was two surgeons. There was a main surgeon and there was another surgeon. And the other surgeon was like trying to figure out how to do it. And so I literally have, I don't know if the clips actually made it in because Ali Speed actually edited for me because I couldn't do it, obviously. Couldn't do anything. So
that makes sense.
And the other reason why I couldn't do it is because right after the surgery, they gave me the nurse, 80, I don't know why she did this. She gave me the camera. Like right after the surgery, and the first thing you do after filming anything, you're like looking through things, and you're like, "Oh, you know, what the hell? What is this?" You see your brain, and then I had what's called a stress attack or something like that.
Yeah,
and yeah, because you were watching the footage back of your own brain being hacked at,
right? Like 20 minutes prior. So I had this effect, and like another surgeon, I mean, that nurse came in, grabbed my camera, and she's like, "What are you doing?" You know, they had this argument, and so she did all the editing for that. So I didn't see it for a long time. Literally, I haven't seen the.
But you were telling them how to use the camera to film the thing.
I told them how to, and then they saw me how I was doing it because I was like filming it, and then my arm just went down, and they're like, "Okay, so we got to do this." And so the surgeon.
You were trying to hold the camera.
I was trying to hold it with my left hand, and that's the arm that actually was affected by the tumor.
Oh gosh!
So I was actually filming it for first. Maybe I want to think it was like 10 minutes, but it was probably 30 seconds.
I mean, there are tripods. That is
yeah,
a thing.
But I wanted the more like you gotta have the vlog thing. If you have a tripod, it just looks like a surgeon video. But so he's like right in front of my face. Like, he's like, "So what are you thinking right now?" I'm like talking about, you know, I don't know what it was.
This is one of the nurses.
The surgeon, another surgeon.
Oh really?
There's
let me hold that camera.
So they were comfortable like adding a layer of documentation that they became the document in their own process.
Right.
For
they
you.
Could have like seriously malpractice suit. They could have screwed themselves over.
I know. It's crazy that they allowed it to happen.
Yeah.
So not only did they allow it to happen, they started
they
doing
did it.
Like,
yeah,
they're like
they
holding the
did
camera.
It.
Oh,
and
I dropped
asking,
the camera in
asking,
his brain.
Yeah, yeah. They were like asking you questions and like you were talking about the surgeons and how great they were. You were talking about fans and how great their support was. You were vlogging.
I was telling, apparently they said I had my humor totally was intact. I was like.
You were groggy.
I was groggy. I've only watched
intact.
It once. Yeah. It was,
oh, really?
It was in there. I watched it maybe a year ago. It was the first time I ever watched it.
Oh, really?
Because there's two versions. There's the censored version. And because Shay Carl actually came out to when the surgery happened. And our singer actually came out. As like moral support. Mm-hmm. Shay and Kasim came out the first time. For the second one, Shay's there and he's with Alu and they were editing. And she's like, I don't know what I should put in. And Shay's like, put all of it. You know, like Shay always does. And so we made two of them because it was pretty intense.
Graphic, yeah.
You see blood, but it's not like gushing blood. Like, you know,
but you see the brain. Some,
you
right?
see the brain, yeah. But it doesn't look, it looks like if you took jello. It put like pink
don't
jello.
Don't be so hard on yourself. Josh. Right.
It was a giant brain. It was a giant, giant brain. But it's interesting because I watched the uncensored version recently, and it's interesting that they can do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do they figure that out?
So it was cool that they did that. But then, I mean, on an emotional level, I think the thing that when I was watching through it, it was.
Which one did you watch? The uncensored or the regular one?
Well, I'm actually talking about kind of
the whole story.
The story around it and how, I mean, it's so compelling because it's so real and it's so just a part of something that you had committed to.
Right.
You committed to something
right.
blindly. And right. then when this happens, you stuck with it.
Yeah.
And as Rhett and I watched it, I remember our conversation, I was very curious about the emotional side of it.
Right.
You know, I think that... I was very curious how you were dealing with it and then how much of that would be conveyed to the audience.
Right. I think a connection really formed on that one because, like, it was cool because you're connecting with people. Maybe 10% of people have something like that or can relate to that. So I was able to vent to somebody that knew. It was like going to a support group because they told me I should go to support groups because it messes with your, not to be joking, but your brain.
Yeah.
But your mental state. And I refused to do any of those just because, like I said earlier, I'm a stubborn person. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to go on tour. I wanted to go play shows. And here's a funny thing. Right after that surgery, after the first surgery, I was back on the stage touring overseas in Europe in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. And I still had the freaking, you know, that actor in Fifth Element that has the hair, you know, like that's over, the bad guy. Gary Sinise? Like Gary Sinise, is it?
Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman, yeah. You know, in Fifth Element, that's right. I look like that, minus the little collar and stuff like that, overseas. So I would wear a helmet. And over like 2 weeks overseas, second one, when I was open brain surgery, I was back on the stage in 3 weeks. Because they told me, they were like, what the f-? If you can do it, do it. And I was like, all right.
What? Yes, I mean, you had this like big circle of like a
horseshoe.
Yeah. Just right there over your right eye, yeah, and your scalp.
Yeah. The Indianapolis Colts actually sent me a care package. Dead serious.
Thanks for getting our logo.
Yeah.
That's
commitment. It's upside down, though, yeah.
Yeah.
They totally did. It was really funny.
That is amazing.
Yeah, I thought it was really hilarious, too. But, yeah, it was a pretty gnarly kind of situation. I thought it was more of like a – that was my moral support, the internet. And I feel like things came together really well in that.
How low did it get, though? I mean, there had to have been moments where it was like – if you said, I never felt like I was going to die, even the second time, I mean, what? There's got to be those questions.
It doesn't hit your mind, I don't think. When you're going through that stuff, it's just, at least me, I don't think death, I always think of it as a situation kind of thing. Like, I'm not going to die, but I'm going through something pretty, but I know there's somebody else going through something. Like, there's somebody probably going through stage 4 leukemia or breast cancer or something like that, and they're going through really bad chemotherapy. Right. They're losing their hair. Mm-hmm. You know, they can't speak. They can't move. I know there's, unfortunately, people going through those things. So when I'm able to talk and I'm talking to people back and forth, and I realize this situation sucks, but it's life. Mm-hmm. And you got to go through it.
Okay. Well, let me see if I can get at it this way. Because what I'm still trying to find in there is that moment of fear.
Okay.
The fear. I'm trying to find the fear. So this is my last ditch effort to find it.
The drugs help.
I think it's, okay. I think it's, did you make any plans for
like situations?
If you died,
like,
yeah, what would the video be? Like, what? How are you going to video your funeral?
I actually did give my password to Allie, and I've said, make sure to film and keep going with this thing. I did tell her to keep going.
If I die.
I didn't say, I said, if something happens, please keep this going. That's all I said.
Meaning the channel or the camera?
The channel. The camera too, I guess. But like, they aren't going to go in there. Because I remember in the video, you can hear, they're like, Charles, can you hear us? Charles, and you just hear my arm fall, and I'm not able to respond. And then you hear clink, 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 and like, we're done. And so they stop. So they stop filming. But it was mainly for her. I wanted the channel to keep going because I didn't want to build something and then make this community and then just die. Because unfortunately, if I passed away, I felt like it needs to live on because it was bigger than me at the time.
So you didn't think about an epic drone swooping shot across your funeral?
Well, that would probably happen too.
DJI? I need another crash of mine.
But then it would keep going after that.
Yeah. I wanted it to keep going, yeah. But never thought about that part. Thanks, Link.
Hey, yeah, you won.
I got to give you my password too.
You won, and we're all going to die, right? And there should be a drone at all of our funerals.
Ah, just DJI, like phantoms, drones all over the place.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Open casket, right?
Yeah, really slow right over there. Somebody's going to do that. Okay, now you've mentioned Allie Speed a number of times, who was with you in the middle of all this. Mm. And of course, because your life has been out there for everyone to see.
Yeah, everything's,
We've all feel like we know a whole lot about your relationships and you've experienced. And so we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
So let's talk about the Allies.
Yeah.
First of all.
Say what I can say.
Yeah.
So There's three.
You've actually met all three.
All of them, yes. Yeah, so they're like one of the very first times we met after the cheese the cheese bread.
Yeah, cheese bread.
incident.
YouTube Live, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We met Allie, who you had, you were already kind of putting your life on the internet at the time, not in the same way.
I was on the Charles
like,
Serpy channel, yeah.
The famous hot air balloon proposal video,
yeah.
which I don't believe can be found anymore.
No, I think it's been taken down because it was owned by a different company.
Okay.
Yeah. Filmed by a company.
But that was sort of like the beginning of like, I'm going to put myself out
on
there.
The internet,
you're going to
yeah.
know about what I'm going through.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, kind of looking back on it, we just want to hear it from your perspective, right? Because, I mean, I think that there's obviously the thing that people always talk about and joke about. It's just like, does she have to be named Allie in order for you to be with her?
Doesn't John have a book like about that too? like a life full of, like what is it? A bunch of Allies?
Abundance of Catherines.
Catherines. And somebody they made the book Abundance of Allies. And I was like, okay, that's kind up, but all right. No, I mean, like, honestly, it just happens. It happened like that.
It's, so, but was
but it's
there,
not a policy.
No, it's not a policy.
I only date girls named Allie.
Was there, when you met your current girlfriend,
Allie West,
when you met her and you found out her name was Allie, was there a, oh man, this
like,
might be a deal breaker.
I was
are you
going like,
to
no,
have to call yourself something else?
No, I was gonna, it wasn't a deal breaker. It was more of like, oh, this is going to be weird. Actually, it wasn't going to be weird for me because a name's a name. You know, I don't really care. Some people date several Johns in their life. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just because it's on the internet. I think it makes it weird.
And it's back to back to back.
And it's back to back to back. Yeah, it's interesting.
But I think, the bigger question I think that everybody has is just the whole process of what happened between you and Allie Speed and leading up to you and Allie West.
Right.
And can we at least tie a bow on the fact that you had a proposal to Allie number one, and I'm sorry, I don't know her last
funny.
Name. Allie with a Y?
Allie R.
Allie R, okay.
Yeah, let's do that, so I'll give her a weird name.
You guys never got married.
No, we never
right?
did. No.
Okay.
Her family wasn't very supportive of the YouTube thing. So it's kind of like one of those things that's like, you know, you do things that you love. If the family's not supportive, it's like, you know, deal breaker.
Yeah.
So now I wish I can go there and just be like middle finger, you know, do the whole like Homer Simpson going down the sand pit, you know, like in the movie.
Just, right.
But I mean, it's just one of those things. It's like, you know, you got to have, you know, at least family supporting what you're doing, even though it sounds crazy, you know. And that didn't happen that because, you know, she didn't like it. She didn't support it. Her family didn't support it. So immediately off the table.
Mm-hmm. But, so Allie Speed, that was you guys got married in November 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, you know, there's you guys, she was on the channel and there were the daily vlogs were already happening. So she was incorporated into that.
Yeah.
The engagement, like the actual moment of engagement.
Right.
Was part of that.
Right.
And not
life
no,
was,
no
life
hot air for, balloon, but that one, that one took.
Yes. I got a fear of flight, hot air balloons after that one. Yeah. No, I mean, like she's a wonderful woman. I never want to talk bad about her. She's a wonderful woman, a very strong woman. And she's helped me through a lot of things. And it just so happened that it just, you know, worked out this way, but you know, all that fun stuff. But yeah, though the reason why that's on there obviously is because life happened from 2009 to 2015.
Yeah.
And so life has happened for 7 years. So that's why that's on there and, you know, documented and stuff.
Well, you know, I think, you know, coming from the perspective of, you know, we see you on the internet a lot more than we see you in person. So
yeah, it's an unfortunate thing, isn't
right?
it?
So it's like we kind of, we see your life being lived as your fans see your life being lived, right? So
right.
when, I mean, I remember the announcement video, I think you called it We Need to Talk, or,
right.
You know, letting everybody know that you guys were getting separated.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to quote something from that video, over the past couple of months, Allie and I haven't been getting along. Mm-hmm. We have been arguing a lot more than normal, and it's just been getting worse and worse, and we've just been becoming more and more unhappy and stressed out.
Right.
And of course, you know, as two guys who, you know, we've been married for a while.
Right.
And and of course, the fans kind of responded in the same way. We heard that and I was like, there's got to be something beyond this, because what you described is something that happens in every marriage relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And just as a fan watching your videos, nobody had any idea that there was anything that was wrong.
Right. And the thing is that I remember a long time ago, we decided when the video started that I felt there was too much negativity, that I didn't want to do negativity on there. Watch Jersey Shore if you want to watch that. know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I wanted to show positive, because the idea
drama.
Is drama. Yeah,
conflict.
Exactly.
Conflict.
Yeah.
Okay.
The videos may have been a lot better.
Yeah, it's not like a reality show.
I mean, it's like a homemade reality show, but we have the control over it. So it was like one of those things. It's like a time capsule almost, a little bit better, I guess, to say. And the idea was, when I get older, that whole idea of these videos, when I get older and I show my kids, I want to make sure they know I was cool at one point. And so I wanted to show, like, you know, cool little things that I've done in my life and remember cool little things because I have a terrible memory prior to the tumor. And maybe that's all connected. I don't know. But I wanted to have something that I can look back on and kind of reminisce and see all these cool things I do. Because, I mean, you guys probably know that all the cool you guys do, you probably don't remember half of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, yeah. And it certainly resonates with me when you say, this is the show I was in charge of. It was also my life. And it was, I hear you saying it was, you know, you and Allie, it was your life together for that stint of time.
Right.
And you made the decision to not exploit that for the sake of entertainment value. I mean, you could have done that, like you said. That would have been entertaining. That's what reality TV
is. People like that.
Is just
the, slapping somebody in the head. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. And that was a very difficult video to shoot. And I, thinking back on it, I wish she was a part of it. But to be honest with you, it was a very difficult thing just to shoot by myself. And a very difficult, whole thing was a difficult situation.
It seemed like it was almost like a, I'm just going to do this. Almost like it was a spur of the moment. It certainly didn't seem like a, there was
like
any plan.
Like I just turned on the webcam. I think it was literally shot on my webcam.
Yeah, there was no, it wasn't like a prepared statement by any means.
No, I rambled forever. I didn't know what to say, like, because you go with what you're thinking and stuff like that.
But it wasn't satisfying as a viewer.
Yeah.
No, I mean, for some people they want more, you know, everyone wants more, especially, and I respect that, you know, people are invested in watching these things for sometimes, like some people I met today, 7 years, you know, since day one. And I understand, I respect that. But at the same time, it's hard to, you know, it's like mom and dad divorcing or something like that. You know, it's like, why was it us? You know what I mean? So it's kind of hard to explain that. And it was a very difficult situation for both her and myself. And we didn't know what we were getting. We didn't know how to deal with it ourselves. Mm-hmm. So to explain that to what, 1.5 million people, you know, how do you do that? And I just one day, I was like in the day, I was just like, I had something in my head and I just turned on the webcam, literally used iMovie. And just started talking.
Right.
And, you know, just said what I...
And had you guys discussed... I mean, obviously you had made the decision that you were getting separated. Mm-hmm. But had you discussed the process by which you would let everyone know?
Oh, we did. And like I said, like thinking back, I wish we both were on there to explain it. It would have been better to sit everyone down, like, so to speak. But for me, it was just one of those spur of the moments things. Like you said, I just had something on my mind I wanted to say. And when I watched it again, I was like, this seems kind of genuine. So versus me kind of like going back and, hey guys, you know, blah, 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 turning on the real camera and stuff like that. I wanted it to be more genuine, speaking from my heart. And, you know, things happened, you know, and there's definitely things I wish I would have done differently. Obviously, everybody wishes they'd done when you think retrospect, Captain Hindsight. But very difficult time, obviously.
Yeah.
And I do apologize to everybody who was, you know, affected by that. You know, her family, people watching the videos. My family, everybody.
Is the decision that you've made that, okay, we've moved on, obviously, each of you.
Yeah.
And so there's no need. I don't want to ask the question. I just want to ask you about the principle of not shedding any more light on it. Like what, even though that was kind of a spur of the moment thing, that was kind of the, at least that's the last thing I've said that you've really kind of gone on record about it.
Right. Well, I mean, I've done stupid things. Everyone does stupid things when you're angry and stuff like that. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I definitely wish I could take back. But and you say things when you're angry and stuff like that. But I see what you're saying. Like, I kind of, it's happened a long time ago. She's happy. I'm happy. I'm so happy for her. And I just want everyone else to, you know, move on. Yeah, it was a situation. And I do apologize. You know, things suck. You know what I mean? But it's life. And that's the whole point of these videos. It's kind of what I'm saying is like, that's the whole point of these things is like, you know, went through a brain tumor, filmed it, went through a divorce, filmed it. This is life. Everyone's going, your parents might go through the same situation. Things like that happen. And kind of the point of what I was doing with the videos, I didn't want to stop, didn't want to like hide it or anything like that. Can't sugarcoat that. Mm-hmm. You can't put like a CGI person or something like that, a replacement or anything like that. You have to explain things.
But there was, I mean, leading up to the separation, there was a lot of editing that had to be made, right? There was people went back and they wanted to find out where they could see the signs. Like, oh, right, now yeah, in retrospect, yeah. I can yeah. see it. They weren't together.
Yeah.
Or when they were together, it was like this.
You're right. Yeah. There's people always going to, you got to, it's like a treasure hunt for some people.
And they want, you know, when the attachment goes so deep as seeing a couple go through brain surgery,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, it's, how did you experience a backlash? Because I have to think that people were upset.
Oh,
she
yeah.
went through this brain surgery with you, man, and yeah. then you're going to, you know.
No, of course. And like, you know.
They want to, I imagine they've thrown you under the bus.
They've thrown both of us under the bus.
Okay.
Which sucks. I mean, in any relationship, they're going to throw, because people feel betrayed, and I respect that fact, you know, because people are invested in you for so long, and then it's just over. But it's not so much over. Like I said in the video, it's just the next chapter. You know, that's what happens in life. Is like, there's relationships and breakups all the time in life. Mm-hmm. And I feel like everyone's gone through a breakup in life. Maybe some of the younger ones are going to, so it's going to suck, but it happens. And you go on to the next chapter. And you make yourself happy, and you want happiness for the other person. And you just move on in life.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, you express in that video that you wanted to remain close to Ali Speed.
Exactly, yeah.
What's the relationship like now?
Well, we are very cordial. We aren't very close, obviously. You know, there's still some things, you know, we're still working on, because it's a hard thing to go through, you know, emotionally. So, you know, it takes time to heal. I mean, both for the internet and both for us, you know what I mean? I know the internet's still healing over that, and we're actually still healing over that. So I know a lot of people are like wanting that quicker, and it's like, you know, we put all these videos on the internet, and I know people want to see things quicker, but we're still healing, you know, life's still healing. So, mm-hmm.
But yeah. You come to something like VidCon, you guys, you cross paths. That's the difficult thing.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Like, we're very cordial when we see each other.
Yeah.
And we see Phil's wedding and things like that. Very cordial. I mean, we don't hate each other.
Yeah.
But it still takes time to heal wounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy she's moving on. She's getting her life together. Being happy as well. So, and I have a wonderful girlfriend as well. We're, you know, moving on with our next chapter in life.
And was there, I mean, that whole process of like, okay, I've announced this separation, and now I've got this new woman in my life.
Mm-hmm.
How did you make decisions about when you were going to introduce?
Right. I see what you're saying.
Allie.
Yeah.
To your audience. Because there's, I mean, you know, obviously there's, the internet is just completely full of speculation about the timeline, and
yeah.
I'm not going to speculate about that. Internet has done enough speculation about
people
that.
People think things, and gotta love Reddit for digging even deeper. But yeah, I mean, people find timelines, but it's not what it appears on the internet. Just because it's on the internet doesn't mean that's what it was. And unfortunately, people have made wrong assumptions on all accounts on so many things. And, you know, we were wanting to take our time to introduce, you know, we were still taking our time, so we didn't want to rush into things as well, you know, so we had to take our time before we made the decision to, I mean, essentially introducing somebody to anybody, even bringing anyone into a vlog for me is like introducing to your family.
Yeah.
So it takes some time to think about it and then eventually do it. But unfortunately things happened and we were forced really quickly because people were making wrong assumptions. And, you know, things got really out of hand really fast on both for her and for myself. And, you know, can't have that. I didn't want that. The hate was going to, it was affecting too many people too quickly.
And how did she handle that coming in? I mean, obviously when you just look at it from an outsider, just watching your vlogs, it's like, hold on, this was a happy family a couple of months ago.
Right. Yeah.
And now there's a new girl and she's named Allie.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And then they think just because of, the worst thing I would have to say is just because things are on the internet doesn't mean it's what they are. Because like, just because somebody likes a photo, likes comments or something, like likes an Instagram photo, they assume the worst. Like if you like something, for example, your wife isn't going to think something, like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I've liked food to pictures of walls, you know, to anything on Instagram. It's people take that and run with assumptions. And I feel like that's where the internet kind of needs to just trust people. And
just to clarify, you're addressing the allegations that there was a relationship before.
Prior, in which there was not. And was completely wrong and out of control. And I felt bad because Allie West was being brought into something like this, and she was taking it like a champ, but deep down she was hurt, very hurt, that people were saying things and assuming things based on nothing. You know what I mean? Assuming assumptions. And she's taken some time. It's been a year and a half. Everyone's moving on. And it's great because, you know, life is moving on and stuff like that. She's able to come to these VidCon things. She's meeting people. People are, you know, kind of apologizing to her mainly for making the assumption that, you know, not giving her a chance and stuff like that and saying horrible things. And it's, I understand. She understands too. So, you know, she talks to them that, you know, people get hurt and, you know, they say things really quickly without thinking. And it's nice to see that the internet's coming back together because there was a rough year and a half.
Yeah. Well, I know you guys have moved on, but we appreciate you taking the time to talk about it.
Of course,
to talk about everything.
Yeah, I know. Definitely. This is actually the first time I actually got to really talk online about it. So it's pretty, it was kind of nervous. Kind of nervous about that. But, you know, hopefully everyone understands it and doesn't take things the wrong way. But, you know.
Yeah. Well, thanks for, you know, being open.
Oh, yeah. And what now? I mean, is there an end date to the vlogs? Are you going to do it?
What's the date? The 27th.
27th of something.
Something. We'll don't know.
Yeah. Some 27th.
The 20th. Like, you'll never know, guys. I actually,
as long as you keep doing it, it's a record that no one can ever break. That's the interesting thing.
Yeah. It's not like setting a world record in like the breaststroke.
Yeah. You have to wait at least 7 years for somebody to break it.
Yeah, right.
So I'll have 7 years of being nervous. Yeah. So I don't know. I really honestly don't know. I had so many cool things that could probably happen in my life. You know, the band's still touring a lot. You know,
yeah, we didn't even get a chance to talk about that. Yeah, but now you're a rock star in addition to all these other things.
Yeah,
so.
That was a great thing that I kind of stumbled into because we've been friends with it as a kid. You know, recording that, filming that, you know, the process of that, doing the albums, and just life. You know, eventually, I'm saying this down the line, guys, don't get assumptions. You know, kids, you know, down the road, family. And it's really exciting to see down the road to be able to document that too.
Yeah.
That's a huge process. I mean, you guys have kids, so you know how that is.
Yeah. But I guess if Shay is any example, eventually you just won't be able to keep up anymore. You're going to start dropping days once those kids come.
Yeah. I was just going to say, once you get on day 18, I'll have to stop, maybe stop in a little bit. Or kid 18, I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
All right, man. Well, we don't want you to stop, so keep going, wish you the best. Thanks for letting us process all this with you.
Of course. And, thank you guys for having me on here. Here's a fun little game, guys. Go back and listen to this and see how many times my voice cracked.
Okay. All right.
And are we going to vlog? We're going to put a vlog. You vlogged before we started.
Yeah, I'm going to vlog it right now.
We're going to vlog at the end.
You guys are going to be in the vlog.
That you survived it.
Okay, guys, so we're just now ending. What episode number is this?
Whoa, now you're getting really technical. I mean, 80-something?
Okay, 80-something of Ear Biscuits, and I just wanted to say I'm vlogging on it, so I'm vlogging on it right now.
Do you feel good?
I feel...
Because you were like, I don't know how this is going to be. You said you didn't know.
I didn't know what it was going to be like. I actually was really... Actually, this is what I sound like. This is actually kind of interesting. But yeah, we actually talked about a lot of things. I was really super nervous. Luckily these guys are people I've probably known probably almost 10 years, right?
Getting
close. Almost a decade.
Yeah. Getting old. So yeah, you guys can listen to this whenever they upload it. When do you guys upload?
Let's see. Well, we're batching these, so it'll be a few weeks.
We're going to make you wait a little bit, but
probably the most nerve wracking thing I've ever talked about. And they got it out of me.
All right. Yeah. Get out.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, no worries.
And there you have it, our conversation with Charles Trippy. Tweet at him, guys. Let him know what you thought of our conversation. His handle is Charles Trippy. Use hashtag earbiscuits.
Yeah, and especially we want to just express that we appreciate him being so open. He told us after we finished recording that he was nervous about coming on here, knowing that we would ask some questions about his relationship with Allie. And you know, he's lived his life in front of everyone out there who watches his content, But you know, that's he can kind of edit it, right? I mean, it's his life and he's extremely open about it, mm-hmm. but he has the ability to kind of present it in a way that he's like, well, if I don't want them to know about that, then I won't tell them. But he had the courage to come on here and let us basically grill him towards the end there about these questions and the internet speculation. So
and address some of that.
Yeah, so thanks to Charles for doing that.
We appreciate that. Tweet at him, let him know what you think. You know, another thing that I really enjoyed about the conversation was it was a refresher for me, going back through his experience all the way to the beginning of YouTube with how much he did help shape what so many people after him started to do. Like I said in the intro, developing a genre of clickable internet content, even before the daily vlog thing, you know, just having...
He was one of the only people that was getting traction on those kind of videos way back in the day.
And pushing the medium in a lot of ways, not the sketches and also just vlogs and everything in between that just became clickable, thumbnailing, titling, every single, name any aspect of it, and you could always kind of look at his channel and figure it out. And I was reminded of that. One thing we didn't talk about, another example of experimentation, was the live stream where he and Shay Carl and It's Brent, mm-hmm. you remember this, all three of them decided to see who could stay up the longest, and it precipitated from the new technology of live streaming and people doing live casting, like Justine was broadcasting every moment of her day, even when she slept. And a couple of other people were doing that mm-hmm. on Justin TV. I think they were on Blog TV when that started. I can't remember. I think that's where it was. Not Ustream, not Justin, but Blog TV. Because we went into the chat room, we had met him in Philly, and then we were like becoming more of the community, so we were able to enter each person's chat room, and I don't know how long they stayed up.
Won that? Didn't Shay Carl win it?
I think Shay may have won, but it was days that they stayed up, and they were broadcasting all of it on the internet, and you know, at a certain point, they were all like falling asleep in front of their webcams, which is hilarious, with people in the comments like talking to them.
Maybe we should do that again. I don't want to be a part of it though. I hate staying up.
Oh yeah, me too.
It gets past midnight now and I'm just like, what? What is this, a lock-in?
But it's the spirit of experimentation and pioneering captured in that moment that it's just like, okay, you can live stream. Let's do it without sleeping. It'll be fun. You know, he and Shay were spurring each other on even with the daily vlog thing. And it's just a lesson and a reminder that when you try things happen that you didn't expect. There's unexpected byproducts that might lead to your career or breaking a Guinness World Record or doing 7 years of videos every single day.
That continues to be the thing that just blows my mind. And, you know, as coming from two guys who, yes, we do have a daily internet show, but we're not constantly broadcasting our lives and we don't have to personally edit every single second of video every single day. And I cannot believe it. I really cannot believe it. There's no one's ever gonna come close to the record. I mean, there's just no way it's gonna be broken. I mean, first of all, it continues to build every single day, right? But there's no way anybody else is gonna break that.
Well, it's possible. Especially if they invent technology to age twice as fast. Would that count towards catching up?
Well, you know, the reason it will never be broken in the way that he's doing it, which is someone who's filming it and then editing themselves. But when it becomes like a robot camera that's on you that does an automatic vlog.
That doesn't count.
Yeah, that doesn't count because that's going to happen. That's next.
I think the bigger question is why on earth would anyone develop technology to age twice as fast?
Oh, I didn't even, I heard you. I thought you said, I assumed that you said age more slowly. Because that would have made some sense. I didn't really listen to you.
You got to age faster. Every one of your days has to equal everyone else's 2 days in order for him to catch it or her to catch up with Charles.
Well, in 7 days from now, we'll have another Ear Biscuit for you, and Charles Trippy will have 7 more vlogs for you. You know, that's sort of that's the pattern that we've all established.
And you can count on all of us,
yes.
As we've established. So we'll speak at you next week, guys. Thank you.